It's always a tremendous chus. It's a great privilege for our community to be able to welcome Rav Schechter Shlita. Rav Schechter has had a very long-standing relationship with the community as a whole, the community at large, and many of the Rabbanim, the Rebbeim, and members of the community are Talmidim of Rebbe. For many, many years, some of the most pressing and delicate and critical questions that we've had in halacha and guidance that we've needed, we've really been very, very fortunate and blessed to be able to turn to Rav Schechter for his help. Even most recently, while we're so grateful that Hurricane Matthew, fortunately, and our tefillos were answered, took a little turn to the right, and we were spared in anticipation of the hurricane, there were some very, very important questions in halacha, and of course it was Rav Schechter we turned to with confidence of his full sensitivity in being able to give us a psak, which would be true to Torah, and also would be something that could guide our community. It's always a great bracha to be able to have him here, and we're very grateful to Dr. Yitzchak Belazan, Beis Medrash of BRS, which has enabled the Shabbos. In introducing Rebbe, I just want to remind everyone of the many, many learning opportunities. We're deeply grateful to Rebbe that he's agreed to give so many shiurim. Tomorrow, he's visiting literally all the schools and giving shiurim across Boca Raton. Tomorrow evening, there's a special tish and chabura at 8:30 p.m. here at the shul. The Tish is in celebration in honor of Rebbe's 50th year as Rosh Yeshiva, Yeshiva University. And I'll be giving a Chabura tomorrow evening. On Shabbos morning following Hashkama, there'll be a Chabura. The Klal Rabbi's class Shabbos afternoon at the Sfardi Shalashuris. It'll be at Avos Ubanim Motzei Shabbos. And then two Shirim on Sunday morning as well. All the details and titles will be listed in the weekly, you'll see. But we're very grateful that Rebbe is willing to share so much Torah with our community on this particular Shabbos, and Rebbe is always willing to be a resource for us on so many different occasions. So without any further ado, please rise and join me in welcoming Rav Schechter Shlita.
Thank you very much. The Gemara in Brachos quotes a pasuk from Tehillim. Shalom Aleichem. Quotes a pasuk from Tehillim that reads, Kirum Zulas Livnei Adam, and the Gemara interprets it's a difficult pasuk. Pshut Shal Mirka is difficult. The Gemara says it's referring to something which is Omdim Baruma Shaloilam and Bedi Adam Amazalzalim Bazer. So the Gemara says that's a reference to Tfilah. We usually view Tfilah. I need a Parnasa. I have two daughters who are pregnant, so I pray that they should have a healthy pregnancy, a healthy delivery, and a healthy baby. One son needs a Parnasa. So I pray for Parnasa, for Shiduchim, for this, for that. One is overweight. I pray they should lose weight, they should get a good Shiduch. I pray for all the things that I need. It's my need. So the Gemara says, no, it's the Rabbanu Shel Olam's need. The Gemara has a comment on today's Sedra. The Psukim say that Sora was an Akor. Then it says Rivka was an Akor. Rachel was an Akor. All the Imos were Akoras. Then the Gemara has a tradition that says in Chumash. The Gemara has a tradition that doesn't say in Chumash that the Ovis were also Akorim. So the Gemara says, why did the Rabbanu Shel Olam cause this to happen? Because just like we have Tivus, some people have a taiva for women, some people have a taiva for money, some people have a taiva for food, some people have a taiva for all of the above. So the Baruch Shalom has taivas also. So the Gemara has a lotion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu misab the tefilosim shel tzadikim. What in the world does that mean? I don't know. Eli daitiv hayisiv. If I would understand what elikus is, I would understand what it means. He has a taiva for tefilosim shel tzadikim. But the Gemara says tefillah is not just our tzarachim. We ask the Rebbe Shalom to take care of our tzarachim. Somehow it's a dvarim ha'am debru m'shaloylam, and people are mezalzal in it. The opening Mishnah in Bava Kamma, many of us remember, Mishnah says, Arba avos nizik, and shor bor, mave, and hever. So shor we know more or less what it means, and bor we know you dig a ditch, and hever is a fire. And what is mave? Mave is a very strange word. So the Gemara has a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, whether mava is a reference to Adam Amazik, or mava is a reference to Shane. So if it means Adam Amazik, so they dug up a pasuk over there. And if it's Shane, they dug up a pasuk over there. So the Mefarshim, the Shitim Kubetzis, cause why in the world? First of all, how could there be a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, what the word mava means? They were students of Rabbi Yudan Nasi. So he was the editor of the Mishnais, and when he taught them the Mishnais, he didn't translate the word mava. How can that be? It's very strange. How can you ever have a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel what the Pirush HaMilas and the Mishnah is? And over here, so strange. What did he pick on such an awkward word, mafe, that you have to dig up psukim to show that it either means Shein or it means Adam? So the Meiri has a very interesting comment over there. Shita Mukovetz quotes the Meiri that there were always two there was an old tradition, Abavas Nezikin, and there were two versions of the tradition. One version had it that Adam is counted as one of the four. One version had it Adam is not counted as one of the four. Shane is one of the four. So Buda Nasi wanted to preserve both traditions, so he picked this awkward word Maveh that can fit in with both traditions. There's such a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel on the Mishnah in the end of Psachim Osa Mascha Benus and Masayim Bishvach. Machlekes, what should the text of the Haggadah be? Are you supposed to say Abodim Hayinu VaYoseinu Hashem in Mitzrayim, or Mitchilu Abde Avodizor HaYavaseinu VaAchshe Karban Amachnu Avodosu? So how is the Shaychem Machlekes? What did Rabbi Yehuda Nasi say when he taught the Mishnayos to the students? Rabbi Shmuel was students of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He was the editor of the Mishnayos. So maybe according to the Meiri, it's the same thing. Maybe there were always two traditions. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wrote the Mishnah in such a way, a Lishnah de Mishtamba the train Anpin, in order to preserve the both traditions. So that in that Mishnah, Bava Kama, according to the opinion in the Gemara, according to that tradition, according to that opinion, that Mab Zeho Adam, how does the word Mab come to mean Adam? How in the world does it come? So the Gemara digs up a Pasuk in Navi, Amar Shomer, Asa Boike Vegam Loila, Im Tivoyim Boyu. That the Rebbe Shalom says the day will come when there will be a lost lover, there will be a gula letzadikim, and the Rishayim will be punished. There's going to be schar v'yonish. And im tevoyim boy, if you want to daven, so daven that you should be zeichet to imos hamashiach. Im tevoyim means tefila, miloshin tefila. So ma bezeho adam, because a person is a davener, a human being is called a davener. What they pick on here, the Mishnah is talking about here, the human being is making a hezek. If you learn pshat ma bezeho adam, he damaged somebody's property. He crashed his car into someone else's car. He made a hezek. So what do you call the human being? Maba Davener? So perhaps it would appear in the beginning of Bereshis. You have the Pasuk. Hosiach asod eterem yeh ba'oretz v'chaleisim asod eterem yitzmach. Before the grass was growing and before the bushes were growing, siach asod, nothing was wrong. Ki lohim ter Hashem alikim al ha'oretz v'adamayin la'boedis adam. Because it didn't rain yet, and Adam Rishon wasn't there yet. What do you mean Adam Rishon was there? So Rashi quotes a comment from the Medrash Rabbah. Most of the Rashi's on Chumash are not Rashi's own idea. He is quoting a Gemara, he's quoting a Medrash Rabbah. So Rashi quotes an interpretation from the Medrash Rabbah. You have a posik later in Chumash, Vayetze Yitzchok Lasuach Basode. What does it mean, Lasuach? So the Gemara says, Ein Sicha Letfilo. Avraham Avinu was Mesaken Shachris, and Yitzchak Avinu was Mesaken Mincha, and Yaakov Avinu was Mesaken Marv. That's why whenever we start Shemana Esrei, Shachris, Mincha, Marv, even Musaf, Neila, we always start Elokeinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. We are davening in the tradition from our ancestors. We follow the tradition from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to daven. So the Loshen Siach, in this, Chol Siach Hasada, Pashup Shat, is the bushes weren't growing. Esav Hasada wasn't growing yet. So Gemara the Medrash interprets Siach Hasada means there was no tefillah regarding the vegetation growing, because Adamayin La'avodas Adama, Adam Rishon hadn't yet been created to do Avodah Shebelev. The Gemara says Eliyavda B'chol Avatchem is Avodah Shebelev to daven. Adam Rishon wasn't yet on the scene, and the Rebbe Shalom doesn't want to give any rain until there are going to be people asking for the rain. We think we're going to soon start saying V'Sein Talamata in the Shemana Esrei. What do you mean? If I'm not going to say V'Sein Talamata, it's not going to rain. It's going to rain anyway. How do you know, baby? It's not going to rain. The Medrash says on that opening pasuk in the beginning of the Chumash, the beginning of Bereshit, Ki lohim ter Hashem alikim al ha'aretz v'adamayin la'avodas adam, because there was no person praying for the rain, so the Baruch Hashem didn't bring any rain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mesaveh, he has a taiva. Baruch Hashem has a taiva. This was all built into the original plan of the Bria. He wanted to create people who are going to daven and ask for the rain. And he didn't bring any rain until he created Adam. Adam saw nothing was going to grow without rain. So he was mispala for rain. I don't know, maybe if nobody in the world, if I don't say V'Sein Talamata, someone else is saying V'Sein Talamata. What's going to happen if nobody says V'Sein Talamata? I don't know, maybe Taka won't rain. I don't know, but at least in the beginning of the Bria, that's how the Medrash understands the Pasuk. This is part of the original plan. This is Dvarim Ha'arim De Merum Shalom. We don't understand what it's all about. The din is that if a person says V'Sein Talamata in the summertime, or he says V'Sein Bracha in the wintertime, and not Yotzi. that there's a Yiddish expression, Azoy Groisvi Atalamotan Aklein Sidril, that if you have a tiny little sitter, a pocket sitter, and all the letters are small, and then I have on one side it says Saint Brach, on one side it says Saint Talamotas, so that's even smaller letters. So that's a tiny letter for Saint Talamotas. So because of these little tiny letters, if you said the wrong thing in the summer or the winter, you're not Yotze. Apparently it's not stam, yes, for rain. Apparently this is a crucial thing. This is part of the plan of the Bria. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted that the human being should be mispal, not only for Artsarach, but somehow it's a tzorach of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Tefillah is, we don't know what that means, a tzorach of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. We read about Cain and Hevel, that Cain killed Hevel, and then he realized that he sinned, and he realized he's going to be punished, so he's guessing on his own. He says, he thinks the punishment will be, Umiponecho es aser, I will have to hide from the presence of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And then the pasuk continues, he guessed right. Had to leave the presence of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So where did he go to leave? And Boker Eitan, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam doesn't see what you're doing. Where doesn't he see? The Rebbeinu Shel Olam sees everything all over. Even in your house, in your private home, he sees everything. What do you mean? What do you mean? So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash explains that there are two activities that people engage in, that we are in the presence of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. We're always in the presence of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, but there are two activities that Al Pi Din is considered. One is when you daven, you're talking to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. When you say Kriya Shema, you're talking to yourself. You're not talking to Rebbeinu Shel Olam. When you daven, you have to, Gemara says, you have to be dressed. You can't just daven if you have trousers on, but your chest is exposed. Kriya Shema, you may say, as long as the erev is covered up, you can say Kriya Shema. But the daven, you're talking to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So you have to dress up, Ka'imid Lifnei HaMelech. So the Ramban says that davening a person is in a pchino of Ka'imid Lifnei Hashem. When you bring a korban, you're bringing a korban as a matana. Bring a matana to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Cain realized his punishment will be, he will not be permitted to daven from now on. He'll be punished and not allowed to bring any korbanos. The Gemara has a comment that when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam punishes, he's not like a boss of Adam. A boss of Adam who gets angry at someone else, he punishes him, he'll kill him, he'll destroy his property, he'll lahashkes laharga liyabed. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is very kind. Even when he punishes, the punishment is not so bad. So the Gemara says, when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam punished the Nochash, Ofer Toicha, Kol Yimei Chayecha. So it's a punishment. Before the punishment, it seems that the Nochash used to eat delicious food, and now he's only allowed to eat Ofer. But the Gemara says, on the other hand, it's a gewaltige Sache. If I'm stuck on a desert island and there's no food, I can die from starvation. I can't eat Ofer. I can't live on grass. Maybe you can. I don't know. But most people can't live on grass. And the Nochash, wherever he goes, he has food to eat. There's always offer. There's always offer. So, Makshim Ha'olam, the Beltfek Takasha, so what kind of a punishment is it? Before he did the Avera, Nimtza Chayte Niska, before he did the Avera, so he had to work hard in order to have food. He has to go someplace where there's going to eat. There's going to be food for him to eat. And now after he sins, he's punished that wherever he goes, there's always offer. He never has to worry about his meals. So they say from one of the big Chassidish Rebbes from years ago, Rabbi Tzela Vurka, I think, that the punishment was that from now on, the Nochash can't daven. People who have tzarochim, you need food, you need parnasa, you need children, you need a shidduch, everybody needs a lot of things. So whoever needs something, so you have a right to daven to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. A person who has everything, he doesn't have to daven. What is he going to daven for? So the punishment of the Nochash was, he's never going to be lacking anything. He'll have everything that he needs. And the Mele, he has no right to daven. You only have a right to daven if you have a tzorach. The essence of the davening has, and the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, you have to daven with a certain framework. You have to introduce your davening with Shevach, praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then you have to conclude with Hoidoya. You thank the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for everything that he gave us in the past, but he doesn't need the Shevach and he doesn't need the Hoidoya. That's just the Acheretz dictates. You can't just come to Rebbeinu Shel Olam and say, I need this, I need that, I need the other thing. The Acheretz dictates you have to begin with an introduction of Shevach and conclude with Hoidoya, but the essence of the davening is the middle part, the Bakashas Tzarach. We have a lot of needs, and we ask the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to take care of our needs. That's how the Rambam writes that there's an obligation to daven once a day, every day. And he says the din menat. The Rambam thinks that that's midiraisa. The daven once said the Gemara says davening is midirabbanan. Means the fact that we daven 3 times a day, shacharis, mincha, maariv, sometimes 4 times a day, musaf and nila, 5 times a day. That's midirabbanan. But the daven once a day, every day, that's deraisa. And the davening has to have that framework. Start with sheva, conclude with hoidoya. The Archerets dictates, and the essence is really the middle part of Barakashas Sarachim. So Moshe Feinstein has in his Sefer a question: what do you do on Shabbos and Yom Tov? The Gemara says you leave out all the brachas and tzoyis. Leave out the Chachamim and not matriach has to say all the brachas and tzoyis. What do you mean not matriach? So if you leave out the middles, ikachos mena sefer, the whole essence of the davening is the Barakashas Sarachim. So if you don't say the middle, just left with the Hoidoya and left with Shevach. The Baruch Shalom doesn't need the Shevach; it doesn't need the Hoidoya. Just there are Chereds dictates, you should begin like that and end like that, but the essence of the davening is the middle part. Now Moshe Feinstein explains, it's a mistake. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, we do have Bakashas Terachim. Elokeinu v'elokei Avoseinu, the concluding paragraph, we'd say b'mruchaseinu, accept our observance of Shabbos. Kadoshenu b'mitzvei secha, sanctify us, v'seinu chakeinu b'sorei secha, sabbeinu tevecha, v'tai lebeinu, y'obdecha b'yemes. As opposed to the weekdays, where most of the Bakashas Tzorachim, Agashmi is Dikat Tzorachim, we need Parnasa, and we need Refuah, and so on, we need Geula, and Yeshuas. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, we leave out most of the Gashmi is Dikat Bakashas, we only have Ruchni is Dikat Bakashas. And the same on Rosh Hashanah, when you have Malchi Zechana Shofar, the concluding paragraph, just like the concluding paragraph in the middle, Broch on Shabbos and Yom Tov, is the Bakasha, Kadoshenu b'mitzvei secha, v'seinu chakeinu b'sorei secha, and Malchi Zechana Shofar is also the concluding paragraph, is the punchline, that's the Iker. And the same thing, Shofar, you always have Bakashas. So the essence of the tefillah really is Bakashas. So that's what Rabbi Yitzchak Levorka said, the punishment of the Nachash was that he'll never have any tzarachim, he'll always be taken care of for the rest of his life, and he has nothing to daven for, so he lost his chus to daven. If you have no tzarachim, the person has everything that he needs, so there's nothing to daven about. we all have to daven because we all lack things, we have a lot of tzarachim. The Ramban, famous, the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos disagrees with the Rambam. He thinks that there is no obligation to daven once a day, every day, min HaTorah. The Gemara says, tefillah is min HaRabbanan. He thinks, tefillah is only min HaTorah, tefillah be'ez tzora. If there's an epidemic, or there's a melchama, there's a war, or something like that, a real tzoras hatzibur, so tefillah be'ez tzora is deraisa. Maybe tefillah tzoras hayochid is also tefillah haderech. Tefillah haderech is such a type of a thing. If a person traveling on a highway, and it's a little dangerous, the Gemara has a statement, Kol HaDrachim Mecheska Sakana, and the person is a little nervous about it, because there is a Shtikol Sakana, and or the airplane could be hijacked, or there could be a failure of an engine or something. So if the person is nervous and feels a little uncomfortable about it, then you say Tefillah Sadech, that's also Tefillah B'Yisod, that's in addition to the Shachris Mincha Mayriv, they were Mesak and another Tefillah Sadech. Soloveitchik said that when he used to commute back and forth every week from Boston to New York, so originally he used to go by train and then he started going by plane, so he was always a little nervous, so he used to say Tefillah Sadech, but then when he got so used to going by plane and it doesn't shake at all and it's very calm, he said he stopped saying Tefillah Sadech, because you have to have the sensation that there's a shtikol sakana. It's nowhere near 50-50 sakana, but you're still a little nervous about it. But if your mamish not nervous at all, he thought that no tefillah saderech is visay. Tefillah is always because there are tzorachim. On Yom Kippur we daven 5 tefillahs, we daven the ila. So the Gemara points out, the Mishnah's point on the ila is not the tefillah that's unique to Yom Kippur. The ila is a tefillah on a Tainus Tzibur. What is a Tainus Tzibur all about? Tainus Tzibur is an eis tzora. The Chumash has the din menatur is when you have an eis tzora, a skaitam chatzoitzus, you have to blow chatzoitzus. And the divrei seifrim, you should fast, you should be goes a tainus when you have an eis tzora. The whole masech is tainus. It's about which if you have what kind of an epidemic or a plague or something like that, or Muhammad, when are you goes a tainus? So the Mishnahs have that whenever there's a tainus sibur, you don't daven nila, but a tainus sibur, you daven ila. The one exception to the rule is Tisha B'av. Tisha B'av is a tiny Siba, but you don't daven ila, because the whole theme, the whole idea behind ila is, that's how the Babli says, that's how the Yerushalmi says, the whole theme behind ila is based on Psukim, and Torah Nevi'im, Ksuvim, the Gemara quotes, it says, Gam kisar b'sfila, enenu shemei, edechem domim aleu. There's a concept of ribui tefila. If your prayers are not answered the first time, so you offer a second prayer again. You repeat the same prayer many times. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow him to enter into Eretz Yisrael. So it says, Vaschanan is the gematria of 515. So he offered 515 prayers that the Rebbe Shem should let him into Eretz Yisrael. Anutnik, 515 prayers. If I would have a student who would ask me to take care of something for him, he would ask 515 times, for sure I wouldn't take care of it. For sure I wouldn't. If he asked me one or two times, I'll think about it. 515 times on Nudnik, but the Rabban Shalom runs the world differently. The more you ask him to take care of it, so the better your chances there are that he's going to take care of it. So when you have an Eis Tzara, if you have a tiny Siba, it means that there's some kind of an Eis Tzara over here. So the Eis Tzara, there's an Inyan of Tfilah be Eis Tzara. So you have to add an additional tefillah. So a punkt on Tisha B'av, there's a big tzara. We don't, the Beis HaMikdash was charev, and anyone who lives in a generation where there's no Beis HaMikdash, considered as if the Beis HaMikdash was just destroyed. So there's a big Eis tzara, and we really ought to say Nila, but we leave out Tiskabel when we say the Kaddish and Tishba, we leave out Tiskabel, because the Pasuk says in Megillah Secha that saw some tefillos yilefana. The Gemara of Yom Shachar Beis Hamikdash, the tefillos are not accepted to the same extent that they used to be accepted. Bismancha Beis Hamikdash Ayikayim. So just like we leave out this kabbal, so it does make sense that we should say Ne'ilah on Tisha B'av. The whole idea of Ne'ilah is that you have Ribet Tefillos, then the better chance of having your prayers answered. So on the occasion that we're observing the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, we know the Ribet Tefillos are not going to help them. There is an Inyan of tefillah. It's not right. The Mishnah says, "Kolosit tefilosa keva, ain't tefilosa tachanunim." If a person davens keva, so it's not tachanunim. What do you mean keva? So the Gemara has two pshatim. One pshat is he always davens at the 7 o'clock minyan. He always davens at the 7:20 minyan. He's supposed to daven basikin. So the sun rises every day at a different time. Yiruchu im shamish. He should daven in connection with the zrichas Hashem. So that's one interpretation the Gemara has. He always davens at the minyan that's kavua at the same time every day, so that's not tachanunim. You should really try to daven vasikim. The Gemara has another pshat that's I'm going to sleep when they're davening vasikim. So I don't daven vasikim. So the Gemara has another pshat that is negeta. So if you just say the text every single day, the same text, ain't tefilos the tachanunim. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah composed the text of the tefillah that shavu l'chol nefesh. That's noyeg in all the generations in any country in the world. And we always say that Nusach HaTfilah. But if I have two daughters who are pregnant, so you have to say something about that. If I have someone who's not well in the family, you have to be inspired for that. If my next door neighbor is not well, if someone needs a shidduch and someone has to lose weight and someone has to gain weight and someone needs a job, so you have to offer a tefillah specifically about that. So that's what the Gemara says. It's not right just to say the text of the Shema Nesrei. Each person has to add on tachnunim achat tefilosa, tachnunim and this tefillah, and this bracha, that bracha, everyone has to add on. It should fit for his situation. A person just says the text of the Shema Nesrei, he does not add anything else. It does an ishken davening. Davening is, yes, the Rebbeinu Shlom, to take care of all of your needs. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Mechilta that when there was Mechemes Amalek, so it says, Aaron Bechur was standing to the right and to the left of Moshe Rabbeinu, holding his hands, and he was davening. So the Mechilta makes a comment and is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Yom Kippur Mikan. In that pasuk we derived that a tiny Sibur, you need three people. You shouldn't have one Shliach Sibur, you should have two people standing next to the Shliach Sibur. How do we do that? So the Magen Avraham says, Ma'ariv and Shachris and Musaf and Mincha and Yom Kippur is nothing unique to Yom Kippur. Every Shabbos and Yom Kippur daven Ma'ariv, Shachris, Musaf and Mincha. The thing that's unique on Leil Yom Kippur, we have Bezna 3 for Kol Nidri because we're going to be Matan Adarim Nishu'ava. But the other tefillahs, the other Ma'ariv, Shachris, Mincha, that's every Yom Kippur you have that. What's unique to Yom Kippur, the tefillahs are tainis, is the ne'ilah. So ne'ilah, you should have two people standing next to the shlech tzibah. So the Magen Avraham says we always do, because we leave the Aron Kodesh open the whole time. So everybody's standing. So he assumes there are always people, if it's tiny shul, there are always going to be people standing next to the shlech tzibah. In yeshiva for many years, the Baron Lichtenstein instituted, because Rav Soloveitchik insisted like that, should always have two people standing next to the chazan for Myra, for Shachris, for Musa, for Mincha also, not just for Nila. The Pashup Shat in the Shulchan Aruch, not the way the Magen Avraham says. So what is that all about? Why do you have to have three people? Why do you have to have two people next to the Shlach Tzibah? So Rav Soloveitchik taught the Pshat is that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam made a bris with the Tzibur, he made a bris with the Klal Yisrael. So we put together a bezin and we paskan these mukhiv to take care of our needs. So that's when it's tzorchei harabim, when it's tzorchei hatzibur, because we have a bris is a contract. So we demand of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam should take care of all of our needs. A yochid who davens for his personal things, or for his next door neighbor's tzarochem or something, there is no bris with the yochid. Moshe Rabbeinu was such a big tzaddik, and still, v'yis chanan, he offers he asks for a matnas chinam. As big a tzaddik as a person is, he has no right to demand. You have a right to demand that I'm here for the tzibur. You can convene a bezin and paskan the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is mechuyev to take care. But yechidim cannot demand. So we always have to offer tefillas that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam should take care of all of our needs. Tefillah works. I was just coming now from New York. So they told me that why did Mr. Trump win the election? His daughter went to the Kever of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. She misspelled who she went. So he see that? You can become president of the United States. Make sure that you daven well. You should all daven better. Okay.
Have a word in your mind. Here, so much more to tell them there.